Amen. We can run to Christ, that is for sure. He invites us to, and I'm so glad He does. So thankful for the spirit of worship this morning. I'm so grateful for that. Something I'm trying to focus on in my own heart, and I feel like God's teaching us to make sure that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, that we're not just giving the Lord Jesus lip service in our worship times, but that we are meaning what we're singing and allowing Him to just minister in our hearts as we glorify Him together and exalt Him together. Just want to thank you for singing out. Want to thank the choir. I appreciate Brother Mike leading our choir, and choir members, want to thank you for all the hard work you put in each week and practicing and rehearsing and preparing to lead us in worship. And that is a tremendous blessing to your pastor, and I know to the rest of this church. Amen. Oh, wait a minute now. And to the rest of this church, amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Listen, I know different churches will express in different ways, but I will encourage y'all that when after a song like the choir did, and or a solo, or after a message, or during a message, when you give an amen, you know what? You're letting those people know that you got that truth and it was a blessing. And I want to encourage you to use that great term that we don't use flippantly. It can be used flippantly. It can be used redundantly. But when it's sincere and from the heart, I'm telling you, it's an encouragement to those that are ministering in music or the preaching of the word. Let people know that it's a blessing, that you're with them. And I know that would be a help. I want to start off this message by admitting a mistake that I made. I want to apologize about a mistake I made. And I guess it was a couple weeks ago before I got up here to preach, I introduced our message on unity. And the way a brother approached me about it, and in such a gracious spirit, and I'm so thankful, but because I said something about it that I, after even thinking about it, I thought myself, boy, I shouldn't have maybe put it that way. But I almost made it sound like that was the most important message in the Bible. And although the subject of unity is very important, and especially for the function of the local church, I don't take away that from it. It's very important. But folks, the truth is, every truth of this book is very important. And we can say this, everything in this book is most important. And I don't ever want to elevate truths of the Word of God above another truth in the Word of God. And so I just want to be careful about that, and because we truly, everything we look into the Word of God, it is God's precious Word, and I'm thankful for it. Hasn't been a blessing singing about grace this morning? Amen. It sure has. Just thinking about what God has delivered us from. You know, I was talking to Joanna the other day, and you know, sometimes we need to just pause and meditate upon God's amazing grace in our life. And I think about Joanna and I have two different testimonies. Joanna grew up in a godly home, was saved at a young age. I did not. I was saved at a later age, and I lived an ungodly lifestyle up until the age of 21. And then the Lord saved me and gave me a new heart, new desires, and still growing me to this day. But a little different. But nevertheless, you know, we were saved by the same amazing grace. You know, I read in Ephesians, folks, and I just want to encourage you this one, especially when we're singing unto the Lord, and especially as we sing about grace. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we, all of us born in this world, were by nature the children of wrath. And that needs to sink in, because if you can just imagine yourself, whether you grew up in a Christian home or not, can I say that if you can remember that you were a sinner, if you could take the most vilest, most repulsive sinner that's ever lived on the face of the earth, Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson, you go down the line, you just name them one after another. Can I tell you something that I mean, not in a demeaning way, because I mean it for me too, but that's you. That's you. That's me. Where do we ever go in our theology when we misunderstand the depths of grace? You know, those men, their nature just played out as they got older. But you know, as when you got saved, do you know your sinful state was just as wicked as any of those men or women? Just as wicked. You may have been in a good home, praise God. You may have not have, we all of a sudden think of people that are murderers or drunkards or different things like this. But folks, for us to really appreciate the magnitude of God's amazing grace, we've got to understand what God brought us from, whether we were growing up in a Christian home or not. We were children of wrath. Now that's message number one. Let's move to message number two, please. That is message number one. We've been doing a series on what it means to be a biblical New Testament church member. What the Bible says about that. And we have talked about in our first message things that we are going to commit to do. As a member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, you may be a guest here or visiting with us. You can make application to the church you're attending or wherever you're going to attend. You make application because I will tell you this, and this goes for all of us. It is always God's will for you to be a member of a New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, see, that would have been a good place to say amen. I'm going to help y'all on that. That is God's will for every one of His children to understand the importance of membership, to being joined together with a group of believers that are baptized into the body of Christ and for a goal of exalting Christ and making Him known to the nations. That is the purpose of the local church. And it is His will for every one of His children to play a part, because every part is important, whether people see you or not. We got a lot of people in this church that serve behind the scenes. They don't get recognition, and they're not looking for it, but they do. It's kind of like this ear right here. This little ear right here gets all the credit for hearing. The eardrum, he just gets left out all the time. He's way down in there where you can't see him. But it's just this little ear. These are my ears. No, really, the most part of my ear is inside. The ear canal and the eardrum that does the hearing. But nevertheless, there are people like that. But every part is important. Amen? Every part. And then we talked about how not only will we be a functioning church member, but the second message was this: I will be a unifying church member. The importance of unity among the brethren with all our differences of gifts, personalities, preferences. In fact, that was the next message. That was message number three. It was this: I will not let my church be about my preferences. Okay? They're going to vary in degree. Okay? There's preferences all over the place, but there're going to be variables in that. And we're not going to make church solely about my preference. You can have a preference. Absolutely nothing wrong with having a preference, friend. And also misspoke on that one too. I kind of illustrated as a higher preference, or excuse me, as a stronger preference and a lower preference. Shouldn't have worded it like that. Because between you and the Lord, you can have a higher preference and a lower preference, but both of them can be equally right between you and your God. Now, where we have to make sure we're in line is when we compare it to the Word of God. Because if I say the Lord says it's okay for me to go out and carouse and me to get drunk, you know what? I can't say that's a preference. I have to say that's a sinful choice. You see, there's a big difference. But God's people get all mixed up. And I see so much division among God's people when people start pushing their preferences on others and then look down on others that don't keep them. And then the ones that do maybe have a different preference that maybe is not as high, it's lower. They look down upon the ones that have higher. And we just talked about the importance of not making that the emphasis in our local church. We make Jesus and Him exalted the main thing. We make His Word. We elevate it. And we believe in order. And we do know that there are going to be standards that are need to be upheld. But with anything in life, any company, any organization, you're going to have institutional standards and things that you seek to fulfill for the sake of unity especially. But we talked about that. And then this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to talk about one of these things that God has just really worked in my heart, church, through this message. And I have in no way arrived. And that's why I do come to you very humbly in the spirit of humility, because I know God's teaching me this. And I hope that with His grace, I can express to you the importance of this subject that I'm going to speak of this morning. And that is the subject of prayer. But not just prayer, but the prayer of the local church. I want to preach a message entitled this: I will be a praying church member. I will be a praying church member. Would you go to the book of Acts with me, please? The book of Acts, chapter 1. Go to the New Testament. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels, and then you'll hit the book of Acts there. And Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I love to hear the pages of the Word of God turning. That's always an encouragement to me. Acts chapter 1. I'm just going to, for the sake of time, I will read this one verse to start us off, and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all, talking about the apostles, these all continued with one accord in prayer. And it's also going to talk about others that are going to be joined together here. They joined together in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I'm going to read it again. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let's pray. Father, I confess to you at the very beginning of this message that I cannot do this. But I would ask that you would do it through me. I just want to be a voice, a vessel. Lord, I want to be a clean vessel. And I just pray that, God, I would just say only what you want me to say. Please help me to be concise, Father, and help me to be clear. And I just pray that you would use this message to further the gospel in our church, to further unity, to further just your glory in this place. Because that is what we are here for. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. Please help us now, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know by reading the book of Acts that that is where the birth of the New Testament church happened. Now, I would say there are some differing views on that. I would say that the church was conceived in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus is teaching and gathering them together. I believe there was some very beginning stages there, but I believe it truly gave birth. It truly gave itself in the book of Acts when we come to Pentecost. And one of the things that we will notice right off, that church was birthed here and as a result of God's people praying. They were gathered together and of one accord, by the way, in the spirit of unity with the women and the men, the brethren. And God blessed that prayer meeting in such a way that, boy, Peter piped up. And this time, I know Peter piped up a lot of times with foolishness, but this time Peter piped up with the power of God on his life. And he brought forth a message for those people to hear. And it was a message on the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, that message would go on and flood into what we consider Pentecost. And that would happen in chapter 2. And then following Pentecost, we see again prayer meetings breaking out. They prayed together. You'll read that over and over. They prayed of one accord. And you see that in the book of Acts and throughout. But my point here is the importance of a praying church. A praying church will be a powerful church. A prayerless church will be a powerless church. It is my desire, and I hope it is yours, that we would be a church that is very much focused and making prayer the main thing. You know, you've heard that statement before, haven't you? A means to an end. Well, it's just a means to an end. I'll explain here more in just a minute. Let me define what that phrase means. A means to an end, when you hear that, it's this. A thing, get this, that is not valued or important, get this is key, in itself. A thing that is not necessarily valued or the most important in itself, but get this, but is useful in achieving an aim. And folks, I want to say that I am guilty. And I believe we are guilty many times when we look at prayer as a means to an end. That is not biblical. Prayer is not to be a means to an end. It is an end in itself. Prayer is not something that we, yes, it has some value, but really we use it just to get what we want. No, my friend, that is a misunderstanding of Scripture. Prayer is an all-important thing itself. Prayer is communion with God. Isn't that a blessing? That God has given us an avenue to pray, to commune with Him. I would say that's an all-important thing, and we are not to look at it as an end, as a means to our end. And let me clarify even further, please. I'll give you an example here. What about good health? We've been talking about that a little bit lately, hadn't we? Good health, trying to be in a good shape, if you will, and not eating or eating. But, you know, let me just say it like this. You know, health, achieving good health and a healthy lifestyle, there are means in order to accomplish that. One, for instance, is running. Running. It is a means to accomplishing that. What else? You know, eating only maybe organic food, which I believe that's just a market anyway. But anyway, you all that buy organic, I know you're probably going to live longer than me. But, you know, it's just one of those things that it is very costly. But you got these different avenues. You have organic foods, and you have good sleep. Aren't you glad for good sleep? Please don't do it right now, okay, while I'm preaching this message. Good sleep. Those things that I just mentioned to you are a means to an end. They are a means to an end. Those things will contribute toward the ultimate goal, and that is a healthy life. But I'm telling you, they're not all that important. I mean, come on, let's agree here. Running can be replaced with another means of exercise. How many of you want to say amen right there? All right. I mean, you have the elliptical. That's a lot easier on the joints. Amen. Thank you. I'm getting some amens there. You have the bicycle. Some prefer the bicycle where you can actually sit and exercise. That's kind of nice, isn't it? Amen. There are different means. You can walk. You can walk and accomplish that same thing. So you see, running, it can be important, but it's not the most important. But the idea is, it's a means to an end. But my friend, when we come to prayer, prayer is not that way. There is no substitute for prayer. Absolutely nothing that God has provided to be a substitute for prayer. And we cannot in any way pretend that there is. There will be no programs that will substitute for prayer. There will be no facilities that will be a substitute for prayer. There will be no activities that will be a substitute for prayer. I want to tell you what, prayer in itself is an all-important thing for us to do. I'm thankful that prayer is not just a means to get things done, which we can do that, but it is an invaluable and irreplaceable itself. Prayer is the ultimate goal, my dear friends. There will be, yes, of course, now when you do those things of means, you say a means to an end, there are going to be a healthy lifestyle. There are going to be results from a healthy lifestyle. There's longevity. There can be more activity. You just simply feel better many times when you have a healthy lifestyle. There are many ways that we can go there. And some of our medical experts in here or in the medical field, I should say, could give us some more light on that. There are results. And folks, that is it. Prayer is not a means to an end. Prayer is the all-important thing. And as we pray as God's people and as God's church, you know what happened? Results come. Longevity, unity, power. We don't pray just for those things. That's not a means to an end. But no, it's going to come as a natural result because of our communion with God. We make that the main thing. We don't treat God like a genie in a bottle. We rub it a certain way, you know, and then poof, here it comes. No, we do not look at God that way because that is looking at prayer as a means to an end. Prayer is prayer itself. Amen? Amen. That's what we're going for. I couldn't put it any better than Oswald Chambers. He said, prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work. You see, men like that are encouraging me. And this is refreshing to me because I feel like I'm learning this maybe all over again. I don't know. But God just wants us to be a praying people. And He will bring power and results through that. Does it mean that we can't pray for things? You know, I'm not saying that. God commands us to. But we don't just pray just to get things. It is a spirit of life, you know, and we think of prayer just as a prayer meeting, and that's good. But I'm talking about also the spirit of prayer. Remember what prayer is. Prayer is simply communion with God. You don't have to be in a church like this. You don't have to be in a prayer closet, although those are good. But what about just the spirit of prayer, just talking to God throughout the day? I encouraged our teenage boys several months back. I said, fellas, try to practice the presence of God. When you're going through your daily life, when you're going through things, just talk to God. He's your friend. Jesus said He was a friend. You talk to your friends. You know, you make sure you use reverence. But you talk to God. And that's what He wants us to do. And I want to encourage you some ways here. And I'm going to try to go through these quickly. So if you would you listen quickly? And then we'll move right through it. All right, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, please. I appreciate you flipping with me. This is a topical message. These past few messages have been topical messages. I try not to make topical messages a practice, a weekly practice. But however, they are healthy from time to time, especially when a subject like New Testament membership and the church, it's very appropriate at times. So if you would go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read one verse, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Word of God says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And get this, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you see that? He's saying praying always with all prayer and supplication, number one, in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. And then he says, in watching, being aware, being vigilant with all perseverance, long suffering, longevity, and supplication for who? All saints. You know, I want to give you some ways that we can be a praying church. And I want to tell you, church, these are some areas that God is working on me. And I hope that it will just be an encouragement to all of us. But I want to say here some ways that we can be a praying church. And if I can say this, to be a praying church member is, number one, we need to pray for one another. Praying for one another. Paul was very clear to this church in Ephesus that, look, I need your prayers. We need your prayers. You need our prayers. We need each other's prayers. And it's something that I want us to grow in and praying one for another. You know, there are needs in this room this morning. Boy, I tell you what, need a lot of prayer. There are people in this room, including me, including you, all of us, we have some areas that we need prayer. And sometimes I don't know if it's because we're afraid of what people are going to think of us. I don't know if it's just shyness or whatever it may be. But sometimes I feel like we come in here like clams. And we're sealed off and cut off to when it comes to things that are going on in our life where we need prayer. But folks, we need prayer. Let me just give you a few instances. Trials. Some of you are going through great trials right now. Maybe you just came out of one. Maybe you're just going into one. Hey, we need to be praying about that. You need to be praying for others. And I think of decisions. Some are making big decisions in here. And we need to be praying for each other in decision making. Some of them are life changing decisions. We need to pray for one. What about just some addictions? I'll say struggles too. I mean, James hit that right on the head. He said in James 5:16, he said, pray one for another. Why? That you may be healed. You listen. And by the way, can I say this? Sometimes when you use the word addiction, you know, if we're not careful, we will only think of someone that maybe is addicted to alcohol or drugs. But do you know there's a lot more things that a person can be addicted to? You can say amen right there too. You know that we can be addicted to the spirit of anger? Do you know someone can be addicted to the spirit of fear? Did you know that someone can be addicted to the spirit of lust? A lot of times we look at this outward things as addiction, but I want to tell you, everybody in this room, including your preacher, at times has different forms of addiction. It's true. It's a habit that seems to, what we call in the Bible, a besetting sin. One that keeps coming back and haunts you, and it's like, get out of here, like that annoying gnat. I had my office door open yesterday, beautiful weather, nice breeze, sun shining, and here he comes. Big old black fly. Anybody here hate a fly? Oh, thank you. I don't know why you would like one, but it came in, and man, it's buzzing around me, and y'all would have laughed, you would have seen me. The only thing I could find that resembled a fly swatter was a polo shirt. And that thing was sweeping around, and man, I almost knocked my light shade off one time. But then I caught him in a great spot, and there was a cleanup to do after that. But you know, we all have those little things in our life, do we not? They get around us, they bug us, and you know what? We need to pray for each other in those areas. We need to be ashamed of it. I'm looking for the day, not that we get out and spill all our dirty laundry. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But we can give the spirit of things without going into detail. Amen? What about I'm struggling with the spirit of depression? Can y'all pray for me? What about the spirit, what I said, the spirit of anger? And you could go down the line in the different ways, and we could be honest with each other. But we need each other's prayers. Because you may be having a great victorious day. But I want to guarantee you, there's one of your brothers and sisters that's probably having a horrible day. And we can be mindful of those things. You know, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for each other's growth. By the way, we're all growing. Amen. I'm thankful for that. There's nobody in this church that's arrived. And there won't be anybody in this church that arrives. Never, ever, 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 ever will arrive. Until you get to glory. Then we will receive our glorified state without the sin nature. But we're all growing, and I think it's a great way to pray for the brethren. Hey, help sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Help them, Lord, to grow today in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to grow through this trial. Lord, teach them. You know, I think of areas of praying for one another, and we're going to be a blessing, Lord willing, to them on Tuesday. What about praying for our widows? What about praying for their needs and that God would meet them and as they face many times loneliness, as they face trials and different things in their life, what are we doing as a local church to pray for them? And I want to introduce something to you. You already know what it is, and if you don't have one, we'll get you one. I know there's been some that have been asking. We're going to make sure you get one. But I have found, as your pastor, that a great prayer guide is this book right here. All right? This will help you have educated prayer. And what I mean by that, or intelligent prayer, what I mean by that is that when you pray for the people in our body, in our local church, you don't just think of names, but you can pray in order. You can pray by names, and you see their faces. Hey, I'm telling you something. It does so good to see a person's face. To be able to think of them, that they are a person. They are going through trials. And when you look at them, you see them and who they are. They're just not just a name. But there are a person here that are facing things. And as you pray through this, God will bless you and give you a greater burden for these things. And as you go through it, God may impress you upon a certain person in this directory to pray even more so. I trust that you will do that. Or if some form of this, maybe you would just write the names on a list. You wouldn't necessarily have to use this. But you see what I mean. We need to pray for one another. And I wonder if we are doing that the way God wants us to. And I'm asking that He would help us to pray one for another. Listen to Epaphras. One who, he says here in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you as servant of Christ, saluteth you. Get this, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Why? That you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Wow. Isn't that a good prayer request? Don't you think that's a good prayer request, that when you pray for somebody that you say, Lord, would you help so and so to stand complete in the will of God today? That's a beautiful prayer. And that's a way that we can pray one for another and be encouraged in that. I see us praying for each other. But then secondly, I've got to move quickly here. I believe that a praying church, and to be a praying church member, not only do we pray for one another, but I believe you pray for leadership. I believe it's biblical to pray for leadership. Do you believe that, church? Go over with me to 1 Timothy. Again, thank you for navigating the scriptures with me. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you get to Titus or Hebrews, you've gone too far. If you're in Thessalonians, keep going. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Here's a clear-cut command. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Amen. That covers our first point for sure. And then he goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So we see here praying for one another. But secondly, I believe a praying church will pray for leadership. Now, this is one, I'll be honest with you, church, I hesitated to bring up. Because I felt bad about it. And I shouldn't have. It's biblical. And the Lord says, you know, stop that nonsense. You're being prideful by being that way. But I didn't want to try to put attention on me or any other certain person. But the Lord reminded me that this is a biblical truth. Therefore, I need to give it. Because I'm no better than anybody here. But I would encourage you. One of the first forms of leadership, and probably not the most important leadership, but probably the one that has the greatest responsibility in the local church, is the pastor. And folks, I just want to say this very humbly. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I want your prayers. And I thank you for taking the time to do that. You know, I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time, but when we in Hebrews, the writer says here in chapter 13, verse 17, he says, obey them that have the rule over you. And he's talking about pastoral leadership, and submit yourselves, for they watch your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Get this, for that is unprofitable for you. And this is what the next thing Paul said. Pray for us. He said, pray for us, that for we trust we have a good conscience and all things, willing to live honestly. And I ask you in this way, in a very humble way, to ask you to please covet with me to pray for me as your pastor. I'm just going to run through some of these things, and this is not a woe is me thing, but I just want to kind of give you an idea of how you can pray for me. Pray for my time. Pray that I use it wisely, please, as I make time to study the Word of God and pray and visit and counsel and plan for activities and functions and different things. Pray that I use it wisely. Pray for my testimony. You know, the qualification, one of the first things, the very first qualification for my office, for my function in the local church as pastor, is blameless. To be blameless. And then it goes into about six or seven others, and I'm not going to get into all that, but my point is here, that is a high calling, and I realize that. I'm not complaining about it. God has placed me in that position, but I realize that word blameless is to be above reproach. That means to be without fault. It doesn't mean to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person, but what God is, He is holding me at a higher expectation as the leader of this church. And I need to be conscientious of that. I need to be mindful of that as my testimony. And I pray that you'd help me with that. My study time. Help me pray that I'll study diligently in the Word of God. You know, the two main things that the pastor has in the local church is this. Prayer and the study of God's Word. Those are the two main missions of the New Testament pastor. Pray that I would fulfill those. My prayer life. Something God's teaching me in that. Help me pray in my prayer life as I intercede for you. As I open up this book and I call out your names and the names of your children and the trials you're going through. Pray that I'll get a hold of God on your behalf and move the hand of God upon your life and see the power of God in your life and the power of God in our church. Amen. That's what I want to do, folks. Pray for my encouragement. I get discouraged like anybody. Just like I said, I got the same flesh you have. Pray for my encouragement. Pray for my protection. Satan wants, just like he wants to wipe us all out. But I tell you what, Satan does go for the leaders. He will target leaders. Because if he can knock leaders out, and we've seen it all across our nation, and church after church, the leader gets knocked out, and man, it causes a tremendous mess. And God's grace does help in those matters, and I'm thankful for that. But pray for my protection against the wickedness of Satan. Pray for my preaching. And my preparation for preaching, I'm preaching normally three times a week, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I want my messages, I strive to have content. And sometimes I struggle with that. I feel like I'm repeating myself or whatever the case may be. I want to grow in that area. And I just plead with you, church, help me in that by praying for me. You can't study for me and you cannot go and pray in my place. I have to pray over my messages. But you can pray that God would help me. And I ask that you would do that, please. Pray for my family. Would you pray for my family? I'm telling you what, I believe this with all my heart, Brother Raines, and I believe you would testify to it too. Behind every good man, there is a great woman. I mean that. And my sweet wife, Joanna, I would not be your pastor without her. I would not be qualified and I would not be prepared. She completes me in so many ways. She comforts me. She completes me. She compliments me. She helps me. She's filled with wisdom. And she prepares so many things for me at the house and encourages me in so many ways. And I'm thankful for her. But I know Satan will attack her too. And listen, if I don't have my wife, I want to tell you right now, I don't have a ministry. And I ask, dear church, that you would pray for my sweet wife, Joanna, and her encouragement and her growth. As a pastor's wife, for her encouragement. She's behind the scenes in so many ways, but thank God, I know I'm the man I am today outside of Jesus Christ. It is to Joanna Lynn Jennings, and I'm not exalting her, but I believe we give honor where honor is due. Amen. So thankful for her. Pray for my children. Pray that as they grow up in a pastor's home, that they'll understand that sometime daddy has to leave during game time or family time because of a hospital call or a death, because of a needed visit or counseling or something really important. Pray that my children would have a spirit of understanding. Pray that I would not neglect them off things that can wait. Pray that I would have balance. Please pray that I would have understanding. I hope you don't see this as me being conceited, church. I didn't want to say these things, but I hope you'll understand and pray for me as I seek to lead you in the perfect will of God. I want to be a good pastor to you folks. I want to be a good under-shepherd and love you as I ought to love you and to know your state. And I hope you'll never hesitate to call me. I hope you'll never hesitate to send me messages. I like that. That's my calling. And don't ever stop that. I like the counseling. I like working with you. I like preparing my messages. I like these things. But I need help. And you can help me by praying. Moving on here, who else is our leaders? I think about our worship leader, our music minister. You say, we don't use that term worship leader. Yes, we do. I do. Why? Because that's what he does. He leads us in worship. And my friends, that is so important in the local church that as Brother Mike stands here week after week after week, and Sister Noel on the piano and Sister Kay on the organ and our choir and different ones that are involved, it is so important that they are leading us in worship. And Brother Mike, we need to pray that God would anoint him afresh every week with the songs that God puts on his heart. And the specials that the folks do here week in, week out. Man, we need to pray for our worship leaders, those that are involved in music ministry. Amen? Amen? Please pray for him. Please pray for our music ministry. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. I had a Sunday school teacher to come the other day and she said, "Pastor, I'm really burdened this morning. I got a message that God has given me." And she said, I'm broken this morning. I need your prayers. I want to get through a message that is just so important." Listen, our teachers are preparing messages on throughout the week, and on Saturday they're praying over it, musing over it, preparing, and then they come in and deliver that. Let's pray for our Sunday school leaders. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. If you're here and you don't have a Sunday school teacher, we can help you get one. It's no problem. But I think of Sunday school teachers and those in leadership. I think about those that are chairmen of our different ministries, whether it be groundskeeping or whether it be receptions and dinners. You could go down the line. The security team, the chairmen are leaders in our church, and they have a responsibility to lead and plan. And we need to pray for their encouragement, that God will give them wisdom. I think we need to pray for future deacons. Amen. Because you'll see when we install deacons to our church, the qualifications from a pastor and a deacon, they're not that different. They're not that different. There is some difference, but not totally. They're very similar, and we need to pray that God would help us as we seek to have biblical New Testament deacons, that it'd be a way that honors Him, and pray for their leadership in the church as well. I praise God for the leaders of our church. I thank God for each of you that have volunteered your gifts for the Lord and the various ministries of our church and says, "Pastor, I'll take that. I'll be willing." And we need to pray for them, that the Lord give them wisdom. The leaders of our church, let's pray. Can I close with this third point? We pray for each other. We pray for leadership, and then we pray for the ministries. The ministries. Remember how important prayer is. And if you're like me, sometimes I get caught up in the pastor like this. You know what? I get into that point where I just want to get dependent upon the programs. I want to get dependent upon the conferences. And just, do all my planning and all my prep and just kind of sit back and expect God to do it. You know, hey. We did all this planning, Lord. We got all these people in place. Man, we got... Lord, it's on you now. I've done a lot of planning. We've got some good programs. But what have we done in this matter of praying for them? And the Lord wants us to be renewed in our spirit of empowering these ministries through the ministry of our local church prayer time. Let me just run through these. I think of our worship services. Perfect example this morning. Our worship services. Do you pray for the worship service in your morning time throughout the week? What about when you wake up? God, meet with us this morning in the worship time. What about our Sunday school? What about Bible study groups? By the way, I kind of like the word Bible study groups a little better. That's a preference, I know. But I like Bible study groups. You know why it's a preference for me? Because I have never liked school. Okay? And so calling something Sunday school, you know, hey, can we call it something else? Although I do like Sunday school. You see what I'm saying, okay? But Bible study groups, do we pray for them? Do we pray for our teachers? Do we pray for growth? Do we pray for outreach? Do we pray, get this, for outreach? What about outreach? What are we doing in outreach? Can we run through these grow teams? We're meeting every Saturday. Our church, we're going out. Do you pray for your team? Do you come and show up on your team? I'm thankful for those that come and say, "I can't go out and knock on doors, preacher, but I'll come in here and pray." Thank God for that. What about the Potter's House, the Oaks, special services, revival meetings? Are we praying, making a matter of prayer always for those things? What about our youth group? Our young people, the next generation. Are we praying for these young people? Are we praying for their decisions? Are we praying for their encouragement? Are we praying for their protection? Oh, help us, oh God, for these ministries in our church. What about our missionaries? That's a ministry. It's an outreach. If you're like me, sometimes they just get pushed to the side. But what about it? They're an outreach. They're an extension of our church ministry. And they're spread all across the globe. Hallelujah. And we need to make it a matter to pray for them regularly. Amen? Our missionaries. What about prayer meetings? You're going to like this. This was the last subpoint, okay? Because I'm getting ready to close. But what about our prayer meetings? Folks, I'm not saying this exists here, but there's fewer things more discouraging when it comes to prayer meetings than coming into a dead prayer meeting. A dead prayer meeting is, boy, everybody's just doom and gloom. Yeah, I'm here. We need to pray that the Spirit of God would rule our prayer meetings. To give us a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of focus, a spirit of delight, a spirit of confidence, a spirit where we pray and get a hold of God together. And it's not just a going through the motions, but it's a spirit-filled prayer meeting. I know it sounds funny, but we need to pray for our prayer meetings. Listen, I'm going to say some things here, and you please do not take them the wrong way. But I know for a fact there were a time here when praying. It was a season. I'm not sure how long it was, but there was a time where people were meeting together and praying around this church at different times. There were men that were meeting in this auditorium. There were times where ladies were meeting downstairs in the classroom, and then there'd be spontaneous prayer meetings. And I want to tell you something. We need to get that back. That needs to be back. You say, well, God, listen, God, let me say this, and I mean it very nicely because I'm saying it for myself too. Listen. God has never closed a prayer meeting. God has never shut down a prayer meeting. I don't believe that. I believe God's will for us to pray. Can God change our focus in prayer? Can God change our locations? Absolutely. Can God change our times? Absolutely. Not saying that, but as a matter of us meeting together in prayer, that's always the will of God. Amen? And I trust that we'll have that back. That's kind of like Mary Ann. Sometimes I think, if I'm not careful, I think Mary Ann's going to get the idea that she only cleans her room when we have guests coming over. Y'all laugh because y'all know it's true. But I want to teach Mary Ann, listen, you keep your room clean at all times. Not just when company's coming over. And I'm afraid sometimes that's the way we look at prayer. We'll say, hey, we'll just pray when we need something. But no, God wants us to be in a spirit of prayer. And I hope that you will be open to some ideas that I'm going to have here in the next couple weeks. I'm going to mention something to the men on our prayer breakfast about ways that we can increase and strengthen our prayer life as a local church. You noticed I haven't done something this morning, and that's on purpose. Because I've already gone longer than I wanted, but it was this. I hadn't really talked much about the private prayer because that's not the way God is leading me in this message. I'm talking about our prayer as a church, our prayer life, how we pray together, when we pray together. I figured it up in my mind, and I'm sorry sometimes I do this, but I figured up in my mind if I counted up an average of how often we pray together as a church at this time, it's right around 20 minutes. A week. Well, if you count the prayers before and after my message or messages, for the prayers that when we have food, we do pray. They're usually very short. Amen. They should be. I think about the prayer meeting. We usually pray an average of 15 minutes together, and I'm not condemning that. That's good. But that's just to give you an average. And I feel in my heart that we can do better than that. And by God's grace, we will. Can I close with this illustration? This statement from R.A. Torrey. It was this. The devil is not afraid of machinery. He is only afraid of God. And machinery without prayer is machinery without God. Our day is characterized by the multiplication of man's machinery and the diminution of God's power sought and obtained by prayer. And I believe that is true, but I don't want it to be true about us. we believe as God's New Testament local church that this thing of the prayer ministry is so vitally important for the life of this church. And I hope that you will take this message, church, as an encouragement, not a rebuke. I in no way sense that there has been a demeaning of prayer around here. And people that would say, well, we don't need to pray that much. No, I've never sensed that ever. In fact, quite the contrary. I know you value prayer. But I would like for us to take a refocus and a renewal in our responsibility as a local church praying together to see the hand of God move as a result of not looking at prayer as a means to an end, but in an end itself, in itself. The prayer life of the church. I want to say this together in our closing, and then we're going to pray. It's our fourth pledge that I'd like for us to read together. I'll read it out loud. We can just read it silently. I am a church member. I will pray for my church. Daily, I will ask God to help each member with their needs, struggles, and growth. I will pray for my pastor. I understand his pastoral responsibilities and the spiritual battles that he faces. I will pray that he fulfills his God-given role with grace, wisdom, strength, and patience. That I will pray for the leaders of our church that they may have wisdom and strength for their God-given responsibilities. I will pray for the ministries of my church that through them great and mighty things may be accomplished for the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel. That's our fourth pledge, church. And I trust that you'll make that pledge with me, because I'm pledging to pray for you as God commands me to pray for you. And boy, I believe if we'll get a hold of this biblical truth, we can't even imagine what God's got in store. Let's pray.